This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Saki.
Hey, welcome to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary, of course, Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Make sure to check out Great Lakes Dragway. This is the perfect weather to be out at Great Lakes Dragway this weekend for all the fun. And don't forget, October 3rd, Saturday, the Anarchy No Prep Fall Festival at Great Lakes Dragway. And I'd also like to thank our friends at David Hobbs Honda, of course, 6100 North Green Bay Avenue, for the best in new and certified used Hondas at DavidHobbs.com. Make sure you check them out. Joining me on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, of course, it is Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb. How are you doing today, Jeff? And I don't hear Jeff. Okay. Well, here we are on the Final Inspection Show. Lots to talk about, of course. And this weekend, of course, NASCAR is in Las Vegas. And last night, the first of three races, all night races, which I know Jeff and I love. Last night was, of course, the truck race, the Westgate 200 NASCAR Gander RV and Outdoor Truck Series race at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And it was Austin Hill taking the win. But it was actually Sheldon Creed who just dominated. He was unfortunately had issues toward the end of the race. Austin Hill, I don't want to say stole the win, but took advantage of Sheldon Creed's issues that he had late in the race, because he was the dominant truck. He won the first two segments, and I just got a kick out of it because it's been the first time in a while that we had two drivers weighing over 200 pounds finishing first and second in a NASCAR race. Yes, Austin and Sheldon are both big boys. They've been working on their weight. They've lost some weight, especially Austin Hill. But they're certainly big boys. They are not in the smaller range as some of these drivers come into, especially like drivers like Sam Mayer, who's on the diminutive side, you could say, or Zane Smith, some of these guys. Or you could almost say they're jockey size. These are big boys. But, yeah, it was, and, you know, restarts, they were great. But, unfortunately, once those trucks kind of settled themselves out at a couple of laps, it was kind of what we've been seeing at these, at these cursed a mile and a half tracks, where they just kind of It just cars going around in a circle, unfortunately. But like I said, it was Austin Hill winning, and it was that restart that earned him the playoff win last night. The news last night also, Natalie Decker was not medically cleared to run the race. Fortunately, she wasn't able to start, and unfortunate for her, you know. She gets a lot of abuse. Oh, yeah, you know, she wrecks a lot, this, that, and the other thing. But she's out there. She's doing the best she can. And, you know, she does a lot in the social media side. She does a lot promoting the sport. And, you know, although the results might not be there, she is doing a lot as on the promotion end. And she, somebody like that is actually good for the sport. We need more people like that out there promoting. And it's just kind of frustrating. A lot of, you know, and, you know, people pile on. You know, it's everything in social media. You know, once a couple people see some of the trolls, you know, ganging up on somebody, everybody else starts ganging up on them. You know, is she the most talented driver ever come down? No. But has she gotten into a lot of accidents? She has. But she's out there. Has she caused drivers not to win races? Has she been put herself in? I mean, there's been some drivers, a couple drivers on the Cup side. We'll talk about this in the next half hour, who put themselves in compromising positions for other drivers, in which it might have cost, you know, might have cost them from winning some races. So it's certainly, you know, frustrating when you see the kind of abuse that's out there. You know, it's embarrassing. Some of these trolls, how they go after somebody like Natalie. And, you know, and I think any public figure nowadays, you're going to have negative feedback on social media. And it's just very unfortunate. Also last night, kind of cool deal. We had Connor Daly, IndyCar driver. He's running the IndyCar series full-time for a couple teams. And Travis Pastrana ran the truck race. Travis Pastrana was running full-time in the series a couple years ago. And then walked away, and he's been kind of picking and choosing some races. They ran a pair of Nice Motorsports trucks, and Connor Daly actually did the better of the two. I guess they had a side bet going on. Connor Daly finishing 18th, and I think Pastrana finishing like 21st, 22nd.
Pastrana, yeah, they were right issues around each other the entire race.
So.
And Connor Daly, what a phenomenal job he did. It was the first time he was ever in a truck racing in NASCAR, and he sat there and was able to stay on the lead lap the entire race until the coming out of turn four to hit the checker, hit the start finish line. He got lapped about 200 yards before the start finish line to finish the race. So I call that he finished on the lead lap. Just a mighty impressive performance. Obviously, we had a little audio issue, so definitely best wishes out to Natalie. She does take too much stuff on social media. Yes, she's been involved in accidents. Is she in the best equipment? No. So is what she's driving, should she be competing for top tens? Of course not. And, you know, she's doing a good job. She's learning. Her personality and the way that she sits there and with the backing that she has and the support she has from her family and from her team and everybody around her, she is a very smart girl. And she sits there and she is raced in 100 different types of cars and snowmobiles and everything that you can race. And it's great. And you know that she's just packing this stuff away and, you know, learning and getting all these kind of tips. So if she does get into better equipment, and if, you know, some much needed money is funneled into the truck series, and she gets a better ride, she's going to be that much better for it and be better able to compete down the road.
I'm looking at the box score, and this is very surprising for me, because usually in a situation like this, following box scores as long as I can remember as a kid, I was one of these box score geeks, so I was kind of looking into the stats of any particular race. For Natalie Decker, it says zero laps completed, you know, 5 points, because she's running, you know, for points in that series. Status, fatigue. Now, it's interesting that they put that in there. I've never, ever seen that before. Usually it would be a did not start, because as far as I know, she did not start the race, correct?
Right, she did not.
Right. So it's interesting that they actually put that in there. So that was probably her main complaint somewhere along the line. And asked for, NASCAR official, whoever filled this out, got that. That was her main complaint. And maybe that's why she went to the medical center. She just wasn't feeling, that good. Then what was her main complaint? Well, it's fatigue. So it's interesting that they actually put that in there. I'm very surprised that they actually would put that in the box score instead of just did not start. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any feedback on that. If I'm her team and her handlers, I'm having to talk with NASCAR on that, why that's in the box score. So, because it's certainly, it's almost like, I'm just having to talk. I'm going to the trailer myself if I'm with her, if I'm one of her handlers, saying what's going on, why is that in the box score? Because it's just, I've never seen that before.
No, I haven't either. And, different sports have different ways of doing injuries. You've got hockey, lower body injury, and that's fine, and nobody questions it.
Right.
That's just common practice. Upper body injury. Well, you're not telling me anything. It's just, it's stupid. NASCAR could have done that. They, or like you said, just did not start. And there's no reason for them to put fatigue on there. And it kind of makes you wonder if they would have done that, say, if that was, if that was Kyle Busch and he was supposed to run a truck race and he had a medical issue, would it just be did not start? Or, do you think that they would have the guts
right.
to sit there and throw fatigue on there? And I guarantee you it would say did not start.
Exactly. And then there's another one in here, Tim Vines, who was racing the 83 truck. He was black flagged after 69 laps. Usually they'll put that in there, just black flag. They put in too slow. And I've never seen that before either. Usually if there's a black flag for failure to maintain pace or that, it's just black flagged. Very rarely do you ever see a specific, so whoever put this, whatever NASCAR driver put, or NASCAR official put this together, I'm kind of curious of, it's interesting that they put it in there. They actually have oil. They actually have actual specifics. I don't know if this is a new thing, because usually they'll put it. Usually they try to keep it vague. If there's somebody breaks an A-arm, it's a suspension failure or something like that. They actually put track bar in here for Jordan Anderson and the number three truck. And then they have for Jennifer Jo Cobb, they put oil tank. Because even when, remember when they were doing the starting parks, they would make up stuff.
Right.
Even everybody knew the, especially when the Nationwide Series, when they had like seven of them running and they would pull in at kind of spread them out, they would always make up stuff. Suspension, handling, transmission issue, even though everyone knew beforehand and they had no pit crew that they were pulling in, so.
Yeah, it seems like, rubbing salt in the wound for nothing. And, it doesn't give the, it's not the best look for NASCAR. Let's just put it that way. Steve, one of my main problems with that race last night, besides how ungodly boring it was, why, when you're running a truck race and the length of the race is so short, you have stage one and two that are only 30 laps apiece. So you're running 45 miles before you're having a mandatory caution flag. Why in the hell would you put a competition caution after 10 laps? Mm-hmm. You run 15 miles and then they completely make the race, slow to a standstill with the caution flag. They got back running with 15 to go. So not only do you sit there and have this completely unnecessary caution, then you waste five laps after it. If you're trying to keep the interest of a passing fan, not the diehards, like us that would, watch two old ladies, race a hover around the block, the casual fan, why are you going to sit there and, basically 10 minutes into the race, throw a 15-minute long caution flag to make sure that every single person who's watching changes the channel? It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it is kind of frustrating. It certainly is. I tell you what, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more happenings in the world of NASCAR with Jeff Orlowski, myself, Steve Zotke, on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove and David Hobbs Honda. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. Joining me, it is the Polish Pipeline, Jeff Orlowski. How are you doing, sir?
Living the dream, Steve.
All right. The big news, of course, this week in the world of NASCAR is the much-anticipated teaming up of Denny Hamlin, along with Michael Jordan and driver Bubba Wallace. And it's fun watching how some people talk about it. Some people think it's the greatest thing that ever happened in the world of sports. It's going to transition the world of NASCAR. It's going to be NASCAR, the NFL, and everybody else. Blah, blah, blah. You hear all this stuff from just all sorts of stuff. But the one thing I noticed, Jeff, because I've seen outside sports figures come and go. And I'm not saying one way or another how much involvement Michael Jordan's going to have. But did I see a press conference with the three of them at a podium?
No.
What did we see from Michael Jordan? Did we not see Dale Jr. drive to his house, talk to him in his driveway? Is that what I saw?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So if this is such a big, huge involvement, Michael Jordan couldn't even get in a car, drive the Charlotte Motor Speedway, drive to Joe Gibbs, wherever, and have a big press conference and a big release, right? Is that a kind of a red flag for me? Or
you know, yes, probably it is. And you know, anybody who thinks that Jordan's going to be very involved in the day-to-day or pretty much anything, you know, I think they're kidding themselves. I think it's fantastic for NASCAR. Michael Jordan, you know, the biggest athlete anywhere in the world ever. And so obviously having him involved in NASCAR is a huge step in the right direction and does bring a lot of outside eyes on it. But is it going to shake the world of racing? Hell no.
Well, I mean, it is big. It's not only big for NASCAR, and I understand NASCAR is kind of you know strutting around and saying, you know, this is fantastic. But actually, and this is where everybody needs to understand, it's good for racing in general. And I think the sooner NHRA, IndyCar, Formula One, and NASCAR kind of, you know, say it's good for the sport, not just good for NASCAR. I think it'll be better for racing generally. But that was a little bit of a red flag where I didn't see a big press conference. I thought the optics of Dale Jr. having to drive over to Jordan's house and get an interview with him on his driveway was a little in the middle of the night. It seemed a little bizarre. And because of that, I've seen this come and go. I've seen Brett Favre own a NASCAR team with Dale Jarrett. We know how far that lasted. I've seen Joe Montana own an IndyCar team with Chip Ganassi. You know, I've seen these athletes come and go in this sport, Jeff. And, you know, I'm not saying this is going to happen in this case. I think it's good. I think it's a little bit longer term. But, I wonder, and we all know why those guys did that in the past, why Brett Favre was with Dale Jarrett, why Joe Montana was Chip Ganassi, and others. It's a way to bring in sponsorship. You know, not only are you involved with Bubba Wallace and Denny Hamlin and that, but y'all, Michael Jordan's involved. And if you sponsor a race car, Michael Jordan might come to a couple of our races. You could see MJ. Oh, great. Let's we're in. That kind of thing. Am I wrong in that regard, Jeff?
No, absolutely not. And yes, many have come, many have gone. However, none of them have had the checkbook the size of Michael Jordan. Now,
right.
That said, you know, besides the fact that there was no big press conference, you didn't have anything with Denny, Bubba, and MJ all in the same room. I've got a couple problems with it. You know, first of all, there's a four-car limit for these teams. And Denny Hamlin driving for Gibbs and Toyota, and now this team that he co-owns is going to be a Gibbs satellite running Toyota and all that. You know, yes, technically, do I think that it's against the rules? Hell yes, I do. Is NASCAR going to allow it? Of course they would, and any other sport would break the rules to allow Michael Jordan sure. to get involved in their sport as well. I understand that. But you cannot tell me that this just isn't going to be a fifth Joe Gibbs team. It absolutely is. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
It makes a lot of sense for them because this way Joe Gibbs has more control over what they can do. And we've seen both sides of this. We saw Furniture Row Racing, which it worked out so well. The 78 car actually ended up beating Joe Gibbs Racing. And, you know, the boys at Joe Gibbs Racing certainly didn't like that. We can't have that. So then we go, well, let's try something else. Let's do what we're doing with the 95 car with Christopher Bell now, which is an absolute failure. You got a team, you know, you got Levine who's spending all this money. We ain't getting any results. We got the hottest driver, young driver in NASCAR, and we're finishing 22nd, 23rd. This is not what I signed up for. And so they're looking for something a little bit in between. And so with this agreement, though, Jeff, NASCAR is happy because they're checking all the boxes, right? They're checking everything that everybody wants in NASCAR now is being checked off. We have Michael Jordan who doesn't want that. We have Bubba Wallace in a more competitive car. We don't have to worry about him about the team he's with going closing the doors, and we're going to bring in more sponsorship in that, and everybody's happy. That's why it happened.
Well, of course it did. And let's not, you know, be all PC about it. It checks the boxes that NASCAR is looking for as well. You know, minority owner, check. Minority driver, check. Now, you know, obviously NASCAR has done a phenomenal job in the last handful of years with the whole, you know, drive for diversity and all that, trying to bring up, you know, different drivers from different backgrounds and not just a bunch of white kids out of California, the Midwest, and down south. So, you know, I the reason why I think that they're bending the rules for Jordan is not just so they could say that they have a minority owner and driver. I don't think that. But, you know, it does check those two big boxes as well. Like you mentioned, Michael Jordan, incredible athlete, best athlete in the world. Obviously, you know, he's a phenomenal businessman, and obviously he's not a stupid man. But I really hope he did the homework with Furniture Row. Like you mentioned, you know, they were a Gibbs satellite team. Everything was great. Everything was wonderful. Everybody got along. And then Truex had a little incident with Joey Logano on the track. Truex's crew started talking some smack. And Logano's crew said, hey, don't forget who you drive for. And then, you know, once Truex started beating the regular Gibbs stable, then all of a sudden Gibbs screwed him, sat there, jacked the prices on, in my opinion, jacked the prices on everything and made him go out of business. So I hope Michael Jordan did his homework and he's not walking into this with a huge page, you know, huge checkbook, but blind to the situation from teams of the past.
Jeff, it sounds like we lost Steve momentarily. So I guess we can take a break and we'll talk more on the other side. This is the Final Inspection Show brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. And Jeff, it's a great day to get down there. I know it's kind of cloudy, but might be something.
Cloudy nothing, Mitch. You are absolutely right. The temperature is gorgeous outside. It is one hell of a day. You got a nice breeze. You even kick up the smell of the fuel and the rubber from the burning tires out to where you're sitting in the stands. They do a great job. Go over to Great Lakes Dragway. Check out the great racing, the great food, the great adult beverages. It is fun for the whole family. when you're out there, do me a favor, track down Roy Henning, kick him in the knee, and ask him why he keeps dodging me. But, you know, phenomenal day. Check them out on their Facebook page, Great Lakes Dragaway, and get out there. And we will come back. We'll have Dennis Michelson from D Mike Media coming up next. You're listening to the Final Inspection Show here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Final Inspection. Final Inspection. Now, Dennis Michelson of D Mike Media is here to give us the inside track on NASCAR and the world of short track racing.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zottke along with the Polish Pipe. I'm Jeff Orlowski. Dennis, good to talk to you. We were talking about it previously. Give us your one-minute synopsis of the Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin, Bubba Wallace deal that was announced this week.
Well, I think it's a brilliant move. Will it do anything as far as increasing the popularity with NASCAR, with some demographical groups? No. But it's a cool deal. It's fun to have MJ involved in NASCAR. The fact that anyone with money is willing to invest in the sport right now is a positive.
It certainly is at this point. And, we were talking about how it seems like Joe Gibbs is kind of taking control of that satellite, quote-unquote, operation car, where almost, the 78, it was too good. 95 is not good enough. They're leaving the sport frustrated. And this way, with Denny aboard, Bubba Wallace, you got Michael Jordan, you got some sponsorship. It is basically a fifth car, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and they must be charging quite a bit because they put two teams out of business already. So, that's the case. They're making their money. There's no doubt about it. And NASCAR's not going to get upset because they need as many teams, as many viable teams as they can get. So I think if anybody wanted to do these satellite teams on steroids and do even more of them right now, and if Hendrick wanted to basically have eight cars and Gibbs wanted to have eight cars, and, I don't think there would be any blowback by NASCAR at all, as long as they're showing separate ownership.
Oh, right. And I mean, NASCAR, let's face it, NASCAR would be foolish to turn their back on a situation where you can put Bubba Wallace in a competitive car, you're bringing in Michael Jordan involved, and plus you're keeping the manufacturer happy too, because Toyota has for a while wanted to add another car, especially a more competitive car.
Yeah, and here's the reality of what you're seeing. Every morning on my morning radio show down here in Danville, we play national sports that comes in from the network. And on, the day after the NASCAR race, there was nothing about NASCAR and the entire sports. After the Southern 500, the Monday after the Southern 500, one of the crown jewels of stock car racing, maybe one of the fifth most important races in the country as far as all kinds of motorsports, didn't even get a mention. Michael Jordan teams up with Denny Hamlin, and it's the second story right after the NBA playoffs. This is the impact that this move is having on the non-racing fans. It is moving the needle with the non-racing fans. Will that do anything for NASCAR at the end of the day? I don't know, but it certainly is better to get some good publicity rather than the only times NASCAR has gotten any publicity on the national sports is when something bad happens. So take the small victories where they come.
Dennis, let me ask you a question here. Obviously, with Jordan, being a principal owner and all that kind of stuff on this team, they should have better funding, and it should be, as far as Bubba Wallace is concerned, his car shouldn't be put together with tin foil and rubber bands like the petty cars are now. So obviously it'll take him, two, 3 years to sit there and build chemistry, get everybody in place and all that kind of stuff. I don't think anybody, expects them to go out and even really compete all that well next year, the year after maybe. But how long of a leash do you give Bubba before you start having to kind of look sideways if he struggles in good equipment with the Hamlin and Jordan teams?
Yeah, this is the big thing for Bubba Wallace. It's a make or break season next year, and I don't think there will be any level of patience, because NASCAR is huge money to sponsor a team right now. Now, in Bubba's, in his corner is, because of the way that he played all the national news off of all of the racial injustice messaging, he actually brought a lot of the sponsorship for this team to himself for next year. So if Bubba leaves, do those sponsors leave? That's the question. But it's going to be interesting to see what other sponsorship goes to that car other than what has already committed to Bubba right now, and how long those brands will be loyal to NASCAR. Because this is something brand new for them, and will they figure out a way to measure their ROI? I mean, we're seeing Geico leaving the business because there wasn't an ROI to the sport at these levels of sponsorship. So it's going to be interesting, but yes, Bubba's got the big target on his back because he's back in good equipment like he was in the trucks and in Xfinity. But in the trucks at Xfinity, he had some success. So, Bubba's got a chance now to show what he has as a driver. It's a huge step up from Xfinity and trucks to the Cup level. Will he be able to be competitive? I think so. Does that mean that this is a top 15 team? Probably not. But it's in that next tier of teams, maybe next year, and will show some strength. It will be sort of like a farm team for Joe Gibbs Racing main teams, though. So they'll get a lot of good talent coming up from the Truck Series with Kyle Busch Motorsports and from the Xfinity Series with Joe Gibbs Racing that will get a chance to show what they can do at the Cup level on pit road. So that will have this team up to speed a lot quicker than a lot of people are thinking.
That's a good point. Moving on to the other move this week was Chastain going to the 40. Ross Chastain going to the 42 car. They're going to go through some car zone next year, aren't they?
Well, this is an interesting move because this is a very aggressive driver, but I think a very good driver. He has been able to show some success in the trucks at Xfinity as well, in what I would call lesser equipment. So now, is this a good ride at the Cup level? No. As witnessed by how fast Kurt Busch is fading in the playoffs, where he cannot seem to come up to speed, and he's really struggling just to be top 15. And with the way Matt Kenseth just fell off the face of the earth here, after he took over that 42 ride, I don't think that driver was washed up, so I'm blaming the equipment. So it's an interesting move, but the positive of that move is Ganassi was one of the teams that there's been a lot of rumors about maybe cutting a team, if not showing up next year at all. So the fact that they've committed so early to Ross Chastain and some of his sponsorship dollars that he's able to bring, that's certainly good news for the sport, too.
Well, and I think it's a good move for Ganassi because next season is going to be the last season with the current car before we go to the next gen. So you might as well throw Ross Chastain out there to trash everything, and then that way you clear up your garage. and so the following season, when the next gen car comes, you've got plenty of space to load all those bad boys into the shop. Now, my thing is, I understand the move from Ross Chastain's point. Of course, you're going to sign the deal, move up to Cup, get a bigger paycheck and all that. But anybody who thinks that Ross Chastain is going to sit there and compete on that level, on the Cup level in the 42, is kidding themselves. Does Ross Chastain have even half the talent that Kyle Larson has? I would say no. Does he have, you know, half the talent that Matt Kenseth, former NASCAR Cup champion, has? I would say no. And they couldn't get the job done in that ride. Chastain isn't going to be any different.
Yeah, I wouldn't be so quick to say we know exactly where Ross Chastain's talent level will be at Cup, at the Cup level. But I agree with you. He's not a past champion like Matt Kenseth quality. And I'll say he's not even a Kurt Busch quality, let alone a Kyle Larson quality of driver. That's pretty easy to say. But is he a driver that will be holding the car back or improving the car? That is still, the jury's still out on that. I don't think Ross Chastain, with the exception of crashing a bit of equipment from time to time because he's so aggressive, I don't think he's a bad driver. I just think that he's, you know, we don't, the jury's out. But I agree with you. He's not as good of a driver as Kyle Larson. That car is not a great pick to have. And there, that's why nobody else was eager to jump into that car. Everybody's hoping for that 48 ride. That's where the drivers that really are auditioning for a better ride for next season, that's what they're waiting for, is that domino to fall. Ross Chastain didn't have the luxury of waiting.
All right, yeah, he good. Definitely didn't. And what I like at Chastain, and what I think he can bring to the table, is rivalries and drama. If Chastain gets into something with Logano, which I don't think he's going to be running anywhere near the front, so I think that that's less likely to happen. But if Chastain gets into some kind of rivalry with, let's say, everybody's favorite good old Crash Stenhouse, you know, that could just be wildly entertaining for 3, 4, 5 weeks at a time.
I tell you what, if the 42 net car next year takes out the 22 every week, you'll be my favorite driver. But that's, we'll actually talk about that more coming up next year. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Rick Hendrick. We also have a new date next year on the 2021 schedule and more coming up next on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zocchi, along with the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski. And joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, as always, from D-Bank Media, it is Dennis Michelson. And Dennis, Hendrick's Motorsports and Rick Hendrick got nipped $100,000 by NASCAR this week, didn't they?
Yeah, it's always interesting when you see the fines come out.
Yeah, $100,000, that's not going to hurt Hendrick too much, though.
I actually think that there were bigger fines in the NFL for wearing masks on their chins during Monday Night Football. So maybe that's not a big penalty. But, you know, it's always weird when you see these penalties pop up in NASCAR. You know, back in the day, $100,000 would have been a big deal, even $10,000. But to these teams now, it's like an inconvenience.
Yeah, it is.
Well, yeah,
is.
When you're finding a crew chief $10,000 because you don't have a lug nut tight, you know, $100,000 to Rick Hendrick is that's, you know, couch cushion money.
Yeah, NASCAR charities is happy though. That's the one thing. That's where all that money goes.
Dennis, yeah. 2021 schedule is coming out, and one of the new venues is the Circuit of the Americas in Austin. Texas loses one of its cup North Points Paint Cup states, but is it's where the All-Star race is going to be. And I thought it was interesting. There has been some rumors that Road America was going to be part of it. It looked very, very strongly that Road America was going to be part of it. And are you surprised that Coda is going to be on there?
Yes and no. Coda is a very beautiful, well-built, and well-organized track. You can have a lot of events down there that would go along well with the NASCAR race. Whenever they held F1 events or any other big events, they always had kind of a pretty good mainliner concert down there to bring in the non-racing fans earlier in the weekend and try to make, you know, as big of an event. The only problem with COTA is it really, like, if you watch the full-size sports cars at COTA, it's a whole different kind of racing than it is for Formula One. The Formula cars, that's what that track was built for. The larger, higher center of gravity cars, it is such a technical track that I'm just not so sure how NASCAR-style cars are going to do down at COTA. But then again, we know that kind of the quality of racing isn't as much of a factor as it is the quality of carnage. And so maybe they're just hoping that it'll be like the Roval, where you're guaranteed quite a few wrecks. But I don't know. It was an interesting move because that's right in Texas Motor Speedway's fan base, and now you're taking a race away from them and having another race in there where you're selling tickets against them. It's just an interesting move that I was a little surprised to see. I thought Texas Motor Speedway was more in the good graces of NASCAR than that.
Yeah, I did too. Tell you, Steve, I hate it. And my reason is NASCAR, again, they prove that they don't learn anything of the past. If you look back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, the cookie cutter mile and a half tracks were not all that prevalent in NASCAR. And then they sat there and they had a couple good races at a few of them. And then every track that went up was a mile and a half. Now, all of a sudden, we're getting this over, you know, it's, to me, it's too much road racing. You've got Watkins Glen, you've got Sonoma, now you've got COTA, you've got the Roval. The Busch Clash is going to be on the Daytona road course. I know that's not points paying, but it's still a big event right before the biggest race of the season. So we've got all these road racing events now, these road courses, and, you know, for years, NASCAR has grown and brought up talent through dirt tracks, through, you know, short tracks all over the country. They worked their way up to K&N. They worked their way up to ARCA, to Xfinity, and then they get to Cup. Now, all of a sudden, you keep adding more and more of these road courses. They're going to have to be taking guys out of IMSA. And I just don't think it's a wise move.
Well, I think I totally disagree with that because it's funny. When people find out if I meet somebody or my cat, you know, casual acquaintances or that, and they want to talk racing, I've had more than a few say, "Boy, I really like those road racing where they have to go both left and right." I'm like, "Oh, interesting." And they'll explain, "Oh yeah, a lot seems like there's a lot more action, and I never thought I would like road racing this and that." But the other thing too, though, is the drivers, especially these younger drivers, a lot of them have come up from a road racing background, especially through karting and whatnot. And I think Dennis will agree with me that the days of the road course ringers have kind of passed because these guys are very, very competitive on road courses, right, Dennis?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's weird because years and years ago, I mean, the early days of of NASCAR, you did have a good mix of some road courses in there. And then you got away from that during the glory day years of NASCAR, where we were only running like Riverside. And then now all of a sudden road course racing has had a resurgence. But you're right. The drivers are so much more ready for this road course racing. And a lot of it has to do, obviously, with so many guys starting in karting, but a lot of it has to do with all of the iRacing. You know, guys have availability to sims now that they didn't have, you know, 10, 15 years ago of this quality. And it's mimicking the road course experience so much that these guys come in with lots and lots of laps on their resume at a particular track. So, I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on this one. I'm just not sure the Coda is the right road course. I'm just not sure that it's got what it takes to make a good stock car race, but we'll see.
It
kind of is. Well, I tell you what, we have Sage Karam coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to IndyCar driver Sage Karam coming up after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.